It is worth the time.
Amen.
People are worth the time. Amen? Yeah, we're not rushing what God's doing in people's lives. That's why we're here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ in our life. Now, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to be our teacher, to open our eyes, open our ears, to hear what you would say to us, your church, your people. Be our teacher. Lead us into truth, the one who is truth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We love you. We thirst for you, Jesus. We're hungry for you. So feed us now. Give us ears to hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you, please go back and listen to the message. I believe it was a pivotal message for us as a church. God's shifting some things in us as his people. And it's important. If you missed that, you need to go back and hear that. Listen, there are two entities that really, really celebrate and do a happy dance when you and I miss church. Number one, that's the devil. And number two, it's your old carnal nature. And we all wrestle with it. The devil doesn't want you to come to church. That ought to be a motivator. I said, the one who's out to destroy your life and make nothing of everything that you've worked so hard for and all the years that you've served Jesus, he's the one who's motivating or would be the most excited about you not being in the house of God. Because he knows what power can come. He knows what deliverance can come to you and I under the anointing. That's not a word of condemnation. That's just exhortation. It's like, come on. Which team are you on? Be on your own team. I'm rooting for you. Now you root for yourself because the other entity is your old carnal nature. You ever woke up and you just don't feel like going to church? You just don't feel like being spiritual today? You don't feel like reading your Bible? You don't feel like praying to God? You don't feel holy, Ben? Ben always feels holy. Saint Ben. That's called the human experience. We all experience that. And you got to push beyond that. You got to realize my enemy is my old sin nature. Because as long as we're in this fleshly body, we wrestle with it. Now, Jesus put it to death on the cross. That's a whole different teaching on Romans 6. But you and I wrestle with it long. You know, when you hear stories of people when they leave this body, when they die, immediately when all the cares of life leave. Why? You're not tempted to be angry. You're not tempted with road rage, greed, or lust, or any other temptation once you're out of this body. But listen, your body is your enemy. Your body's really like Sweden. I'm from Sweden, so I can talk about Sweden. But your body's neutral. Your body's not sinful in itself, but your body it is tied to a sinful planet. Are you with me? There's sin in the world, and your body naturally tends to be tempted toward the sin of this world. And that's when you talk from your spirit, man. You say, no, we're going to church today. We may not feel like it. We may not feel holy today, but we're holy. Because this book tells us we're holy. Amen? Amen? The book tells us go to church. We're going to church. So don't be your own worst enemy. I just want to start off by saying that. Go back and listen to the message if you weren't here last week. There's no condemnation. I'm just saying we're for you, and Jesus is for you. So let's get on the winning team here. Psalm 100 is where we're going to start today. Psalm 100, the old hundredth, as they call it. I guess in times gone by, there were hymns that were written to this psalm, because the word psalm means song. The book of Psalms is a song book. Amen? And this was the number 100th song in the songbook. And different history, fathers of our faith throughout history have put melody to this particular psalm. It's very poetic, and it works. So at times they would sing the old 100th, as they would say. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's only 5 verses long, so you can sigh a sigh of relief now. and we're just going to read through it, and then I'm going to go back and just really hang on a couple of the verses here. All right, are you with me? Here we go. I'm going to read it in the King James. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know that phrase, all ye lands, all the earth. Well, let me just read it and I'll talk about it. All right. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. What a great psalm. You know, some of these key psalms, key chapters in the Bible, is you and I ought to memorize. You ought to memorize. That's not a hard one. 5 verses. You can do that. Put it to memory. That's a good one. Psalm 23, Psalm 100. These are all great, great chapters. We ought to just absorb them into our spirit. Amen? But let's go back and look at these verses just in detail a little bit. First of all, in verse 1, he says, all ye lands, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Anytime you see this phrase, all ye lands, all ye people, all ye nations, throughout the book of Psalms, you need to realize the songwriter was having a glimpse of the time that we're living in which the gospel would go from Israel to the nations of the earth. Amen? Because in these days when these Psalms were written, they were the nation of God. They were the people of God. The rest of the world, you and I, were all heathen. But the writers of these Psalms saw a day. They looked ahead in time and they saw a time in which the glory that was in the nation of Israel would extend out to the rest of the earth. And that is the church age. That's the age we're living in. Amen? So when you see that phrase, all ye lands, anytime you see that, write out in your Bible, write out in the margin somewhere, you know, make a note, that's me. Because that's you. Amen? For 2,000 years, these prayers have been answered. The nations now are making a joyful noise. Amen? Even us Gentiles. But verse 2 is the key for the day. This is the key thought that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to breathe into us, and that is this phrase, serve the Lord with gladness. I'll put it this way. Oh, that's a great sound. I forgot to mention congratulations, big congratulations to Ronnie and Brittany, my nephew and his lovely wife, for their second child, Owen, and what's his middle name again? Graham, Owen Graham. Aren't we? This is the way to grow a church. Praise the Lord. Praise God for his goodness to them and protecting Owen as he came into the world. We're so delighted. But, you know, I want to say it this way. Not only serve the Lord with gladness, but serve the Lord with your gladness. See, that phrase could be interpreted two ways. It could be, while you're serving God, be happy about it. But I really believe the heart of that scripture is referring to this. Your happiness is how you serve God. Your happiness is the way in which you worship God from your heart. In other words, your attitude. We talked about this in Foundations class today. We talked about serving, our occupation in the house of God. And the point was made that it's not what we do, it's how we do it. And that's really what this verse is talking about here. It's not that you are called, being called and summoned to do stuff for God, but to give God your joy, your willing heart, and your delight in the doing. Amen? That's really what this verse is saying. Be delighted in what you're doing for the Lord. Amen? Know that the Lord, He is God. You know, humans naturally tend toward atheism. It's in Adam since the fall. We don't need God. That's what the serpent tempted Adam with, right? God knows that you'll be like him. In other words, you can be your own God. And so this verse, when it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God, that's a good reminder for us all. There is a God. The Lord, the boss, is God. The boss is not you or me. The boss of our life. And then it goes on to say, He is the one who has made us, not we ourselves. We're created beings. Amen? We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Listen, that's not just poetry. That's the truth. Amen? It is poetic in comparing us to sheep, but it's the truth. We're the sheep of His pasture. And the point being there that what God has made and brought into being also has its well-being from Him. Well-being. That's not an easy word to say in the morning. Well-being. We have our being from Him as His creatures, and we have our well-being. Our care, our welfare comes from Him. Amen? Can you say that in truth today? Yes. That you're not on your own out here living life, you know, trying to make it on your own, sweat of your brow. Listen, that's the curse. It's a good reminder for us to hear that now and then. Living by the sweat of your brow is living under the curse. Amen? That was Adam's curse. It's not ours curse in the second Adam. We're called to be graced, to be blessed, to be helped by the one who created us. Amen? And to live not by the sweat of our brow, but by the sweat of His brow in the garden when He sweat great drops of blood. Amen? I said He sweat great drops of blood for you. And that's the sweat we live by. He purchased for you a carefree life. He purchased for you. I'm not talking about just easy road, but a road in which you and I can rest because we're the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd. Amen? Our creator. Interesting note about verse 4. I love to read commentaries. I want to encourage you to get commentaries and read some of the thoughts of the great minds who have gone before us. You can go on Amazon. I did this recently. I bought the commentary written by Charles Spurgeon on the whole book of Psalms. Charles Spurgeon is a $50. What a cheap investment for the gems of knowledge you'll get from $50. All right? 10 trips to Starbucks, Valerie, you'll spend $50. But he said this, a rabbi once made the comment, he said, regarding verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. He said, all other sacrifices will eventually be abolished, but the sacrifice of thanksgiving will remain. Wow, what a noble thought. That's true in eternity. There won't need to be any animals sacrificed when we get to heaven. Jesus has paid the ultimate sacrifice. But you know, thanksgiving will never go away. The sacrifice of thanksgiving will always be a part of our existence. Amen? Both now and into eternity. I thought that was amazing. That's worth the $50 for me to read that one phrase. And I guarantee you there's a whole lot more in those three books, that three-volume series, than just that one phrase. So get these commentaries. Fill your life with great minds' thoughts about the Word of God. It's good. It's good for you. Verse 5. Why do we give thanks to the Lord? Because He is, read it out loud with me, He is good. He is good. This is why our glad heart befits us when we're serving God. Never forget, your master is not a harsh taskmaster. Some of you grew up with dads who, when it came to Saturday chores, maybe they were a little more hard than they should have been. Maybe you had bosses over the years. I've had some good bosses, I've had some great bosses, and I've had some not so great bosses. And at times, the ones that were not so great, I've been under some taskmasters that I wouldn't have said this about the boss. The Lord is good. The boss is good. But Jesus, our boss, is good. Amen. And let me tell you a little key too. When you read in your Bible, you see that word Lord in verse 5, for the Lord. You notice it's in all capital letters. That is the word Yah, which we in English transliterate Yahweh. Yahweh. From what the Hebrew letters, they don't use vowels like we do. They use consonants, and it's yud, hey, vav, hey. Those four consonants, yud, hey, vav, hey. And those four consonants together communicate this idea. Behold the hand, behold the nail. Who's that? Jesus. And Jesus is all over the Old Testament. I mean, I think there's thousands of references. You'll see if you look it up. Every time you're reading in the Bible, when you see Lord in all caps, just know it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is good. Amen? Jesus is good. Well, when the carnal man is first told this idea, serve the Lord, the immediate reaction of you and I's unrenewed mind and the spirit of the age in which we're living in is this. It's the same reaction that Pharaoh gave when Moses approached him. Remember that? When Moses appeared in his courts and said, let my people go. And what did Pharaoh say? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You know, again, when you see that word Lord, think of boss. That's our modern version of the word. Who's the boss that I should obey him? Pharaoh was the boss, after all, right? In that time, he was the ruler of all the land. And your flesh will say that. The world says that. The world looks at you. Your relatives sometimes pick on you when you get together at holidays. They say things, who is the Lord that you should obey him? Why are you following this Jesus like you do? Why do you give up your time with your hobby? You could be out on the golf course on Sunday morning. You could be out fishing. You're in church every Sunday. You go every Sunday to that church, Bob? What's up with that? They'll ask you things like that, right? You do what? You tithe 10% of your income to that church down there? Have you seen the price of gas lately? You saying the Lord wants me to separate myself from the unholiness of this world? When the world's all about what? Social media. Now, I'm not opposed to social media. But let me just remind you here, the spirit of Babylon was what? Let's all do the same thing for the same purpose. There it was, social media, Book of Genesis. Nothing wrong with social media, by the way. Use it as a tool. Use everything as a tool for the gospel. Amen? Use it all. But just be aware, if you plug into Babylon, their mindset is to shift you toward what they want you to think. I mean, June has been deemed a certain month. It's still June to me, Bob. It's the month right before things get real hot. Before things get real, real hot in August with the afterburner. And then there's Christmas. Praise the Lord. But see, the world tries to conform you. The world wants you to think their way. And Jesus says, no, be ye holy as I am holy. Listen, holiness is not an outdated idea. When we get to heaven, we're going to see there's people that were from Moses' time, Jesus' time, Paul's time, the old West time, the good old 50s time, all time periods. And God said the same thing to every generation. Be ye holy as I'm holy. And if that means turning off the tube, then turn off the tube. Hey, if someone's spraying mud all over your face, turn off the hose, man. You mean Jesus wants me to surrender my personal ambitions in life to follow the guidance of an unseen God who doesn't detail every step? You know, there's some people that got their whole life planned. I have a relative that I think his ambition was to be a millionaire by the age 40, and he may have even beat that. He did it. He achieved it. Did other great things in life too. Climbed mountains and did great things. We are comfortable lining out our steps. And the Bible says of Abraham, he followed him who is invisible, not knowing where he was going. And that irritates the flesh. Your carnal mind wants to know every step. And how many of you have learned walking with God, sometimes he gives us just the next step. That's all you got. And you won't see the step after that till you take that next step. That's the God we serve. We were watching The Chosen the other night, and they were, you know, showing that part where the guy says, "You follow a God you can't see." Remember that scene? Jacob, love that. Jacob's digging his well, and a local comes over and starts talking to him and says, "You serve a God you can't see. Where's his temple? Where is he?" He says, "No, I can't see him. And one time he broke my hip." God thinks he's nuts. You know, people think you're nuts to follow this Jesus, to give your time, your money, your efforts. Whew, I could go to preaching right now. I think I will. I was married at age 19, graduated from Bible school at age 20. And I guarantee you, In my many years, not that many, but it's many to me, to this point, I'm almost 60, I'm climbing that hill quick. You've probably seen more movies than I have. You've probably developed your hobbies more refined than I have. I know you, some of you in here have made way more money than I have in my lifetime. But I'll guarantee you, for most of you, you haven't outserved me in the house of God, because I started young. And I made the decision early on, he gets my life. Amen. Sometimes my hobbies went by the wayside, my fun, my weekends, whatever. But God became first priority. Following his call, following his direction became first priority for me. I unplugged from a lot of things that some of you probably never unplugged. Sometimes I get around people and they talk about songs, old rock and roll songs or old movies and things. And I'm like the RCA dog, Ben. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I missed a lot of stuff. There was 3 years of my life we didn't have a television in the house. That'd be a challenge for some of you. 3 years, no TV. I feel like you'd gone to prison. I don't say that to be in competition with you. I'm just saying this. I'm glad I started young. I've been storing up treasures in heaven. I've been serving the Lord with gladness. Now, I haven't always done it with gladness. I guarantee you there's been seasons in my life I had a sourpuss attitude, Brian. I had the wrong attitude. I kept doing the right thing, but I didn't do it with the right attitude. And Psalm 100 here is exhorting us, do it with gladness. Do it with a smile all your days. That's where I'm going with this. Amen? So if you're in here and you're young, start now. If you're in here listening to my voice and you're older, we said in class a while ago, we never say old, we say older. If you're in here and you're older today, start now to serve Jesus with gladness. It's never a burden to serve the Lord. I want you to look at this verse on the screen, 1 John 5:3. We won't turn there because I got this amazing magic screen behind me. And it says this, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And read that last part with me. "His commandments are not grievous." Say that again with me. "His commandments are not grievous." Once more. "His commandments are not grievous." See, God gives us the gift to serve him with. He gives us the wisdom and how to use that gift, apply that gift. He gives us the help of the Holy Spirit to show us when to use that gift, how to use that gift, to breathe life into it. And then he rewards us for using it. And you call that grievous? You call it a heavy to serve the Lord? Are you kidding me? Why do you think it says in Revelation 4:10 when we get before him in heaven, the elders at least, I'm sure if the elders do it, we're all going to do it. What do? Cast their crowns. That's where the music group got their name, casting crowns. Why? Because we'll look and realize, Jesus, I don't deserve this. I couldn't have done a thing on earth without your grace, your Holy Spirit, your initial gifting. Hey, say this with me. I'm gifted. You're a gifted child. Ephesians, we learned, we've pondered this the last couple months. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. There's not a person in here that has not been gifted by Jesus Christ to do something in the kingdom. You may not have figured it out yet. You may not know what that is. That's okay. You'll discover it. That's why I say stick around. Stay in the house. Stay under the anointing. Stay in the presence of God. Someone somewhere is going to help lead you, or the Holy Spirit or some other brother or sister going to give you a word and say, this is the way, walk in. You'll discover it. But there's not a person in here that's not gifted to do something in the kingdom. Obed-Edom made the choice to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Maybe not a prestigious job by some people's estimation, but he was a smart enough man to stay near the presence. He said, I want to be where the blessing is. I don't care if God has me picking up trash in the sanctuary before service. I'll do it to be near God. And I'll do it with gladness, with a glad heart. Why? Because you know every deed you do, someone's keeping a record in heaven. God keeps really good books. Really good books. I want to read you this quote from Charles Spurgeon. Let me give you this disclaimer. Charles Spurgeon was a Calvinist. Calvinists believe God chooses certain people to be saved and others not. I don't believe that. Okay, your pastor does not believe that. We don't teach that here. That doesn't mean he wasn't a great man of God. He was a great man of God. But just know that disclaimer. If you read after him, you'll see phrases like, you know, you'll get hints from his writings of, you know, we who are the graced for salvation. And that's that attitude of Calvinism coming out. That doesn't mean he's not going to heaven, okay? I just want to give you that disclaimer, because anytime I promote somebody, I want to make sure I'm promoting someone that you can follow and it's not going to lead you astray. But I'm just giving you that disclaimer. But Charles Spurgeon was a great mind. And I read a daily devotional of his. He's got some nuggets that you can get on a daily basis. But he said this. He was talking about guys who built the cathedrals. You know, the great church buildings in Europe. We don't have so many of them here now. We're more focused on what happens in the house. But over in Europe years ago, they built great houses, amen, cathedrals, and they made great tourist spots. But he said this, those grand old builders who erected the famous cathedrals of olden times and laid out so much time and skill, carving the ornaments, piling the pinnacles, shall we pity them for having worked so hard? Far from it. They require no pity. Pity would be wasted on them. It was their life's work. They were in their element when they were producing this thing of beauty or that example of wondrous art. And so with the Christian, the service of God is not to him an employment from which he would escape if he could. No, he feels it to be an intense delight and only wishes he could do more and be more perfectly taken up with it. Amen? Isn't that good? He just got away with words. I like him. And there's other great historical fathers. You need to read their stuff. If you don't know them, you need to find them, find out. It's not just for me because I preach. You need to study these guys. It's good for you. Understand where the minds thought, theologians thought about the scriptures. But, you know, your flesh doesn't like serving God. I'll be honest with you. There are times my flesh gets weary, Jane. The first 5 years we met at La Quinta Hotel, we carried the sound equipment from my upstairs room downstairs, loaded it into the car, took it down to the hotel, brought out a cart. Thank God they had carts. We loaded the equipment onto the cart. We brought the equipment into the room. We set the equipment up. After church, we broke the equipment down. We loaded it back into the car, and we took it back home, and it went back upstairs week after week. And there were many weeks I told the Lord, I said, anything for you, Jesus. I was graced for it. No complaints. And that's what the Lord wants from all of us. Sometimes your flesh will be challenged. But I want you to remember these words from Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's not a burden. Amen? You're storing up treasures in heaven. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn over there, please. 1 Peter 4:10 will be our text. Anybody in here ever been to a Keith Moore meeting? Listen to Keith Moore sermons? You ever clocked him? 90 minutes is average. All right, I'm just saying. I'm easy on you guys. Don't be looking at your watch no more. I go average 40, 45 minutes on a long day, 50 minutes to an hour. I mean, I really go an hour. I went an hour one time. We had a friend of ours here in town, and we had been reaching out, praying, hoping he'd come to church. And the one Sunday he came to church, this is years ago. You don't know who this is. This is a secret. But he showed up, and I preached the longest sermon I've ever preached, an hour or more, Ben. And guess what I happened to be preaching on that day?
Money.
I thought we'd never see him again. I would call him, leave messages. Hey, we were so glad to see you in church last Sunday. Please come back. I don't always preach on money, and I don't always preach long. Praise God. Listen, you need to train your flesh. We're all in the process of training our flesh. Serving God means you tell your flesh what to do. You don't let your flesh... See, we're used to I'm hungry, I'm going to go eat. I'm thirsty, I'm going to take a drink. Our flesh dictates a lot to us. But once you're born again, your spirit now sits on the throne. Your spirit man, which is delighted to serve God. He's happy to serve God. But you still got this old body you got to rest with. So I want to encourage you, take your vitamins, get your rest, be ready to serve God. But don't let your flesh dictate and say, well, I'm tired today. I'm just going to sleep in. I'm not going to church. Or, they need some volunteers for children's church or whatever, but I'm just, I've paid my dues in life. I've done that so many years in churches. What in the world are you listening to? Who's talking there? I hear your flesh talking. Serve the Lord with gladness. Look at 1 Peter 4. Verse 10, every man has received a gift. As he has received it, so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Anyone serves, he should do it with all the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Listen, God graces us, as I said earlier. This is not fair. He's too good. He gives you the strength. He gives you the gift. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the help. And then he rewards you for it one day. What kind of God does that? A God that is too good. That's why it says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. Amen. Listen, you don't own that gift that's in you. You don't have the right to decide, well, I have this talent. I have this ability. I'm good with this or I'm good with that, but I just the last church I was at, they kind of abused it, so I'm going to hide that talent. No, you don't have that right. I mean, you can. The Lord will let you make that choice. You'll be sorry for it when you get to heaven. He'll show you the rewards you probably lost by yielding to your flesh. But you and I we really, truly don't have the right to do that. Amen? We don't have the right to say, I'm going to share my gift here, but not there. It's His gift. The scripture told us here, we are faithful administrators of the gift of God, so that to him be all the glory and the power. Amen? Praise the Lord. I love a story that Jesse DePlantis told years ago of walking into a convenience store, and a Middle Eastern man was there behind the counter and looked at him and said, ooh, I like those boots. And Jesse goes, stood back and says, you like these boots? Yeah, I like those boots. And he took the opportunity to witness. He said, Jesus gave me them boots. You like those boots? Yeah, I like those boots. I forget how the story ends. You're going to have to look it up. I'm sure it's on YouTube, but it's a great story. But he told the guy, basically, he told him that Jesus gave him the boots. What's he doing? He's exalting the goodness of his master. He's exalting the goodness of God. And the guy, I believe, as I've recalled from the story, he came to the Lord. Do you remember? That was a great story. It's a true story. You can find it on your own. Okay, anyways. The Lord is good. And when we serve him with the right attitude, we exude, it's an opportunity for us to shine. That's the point. Yeah. Show the world your boots. Show the world what the Lord's done for you. Show them how good he is. Yeah. The world's not won over by a Christian with a sourpuss look on his face. Not at all. Sometimes we got to have an attitude check. Am I serving him with gladness? Am I really doing this out of a joyful heart? You know, there was a curse in Deuteronomy. I wasn't going to read this verse, but Alan, I know you got it from, I think last week I shared it. Deuteronomy 28. Did I have you look that one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. Look at this verse. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, you shall serve your enemies. Now that's a curse. Mm-hmm. We're not under a curse. God has better things for us. Amen. Yeah. That's not a verse to make you feel heavy. It's a verse to remind you. God wants his people to serve him joyfully. A happy God, a good God, should be served with goodness, gladness, joy, a happy heart. Sometimes you get left, you know, holding the bag. You're at a church picnic, and you somehow got left in the kitchen. All the ladies went out and started talking about something. You got left behind to do the dishes, and you think, Lord, I'm here all by myself. The fewer the people, the greater the honor. If you look at David's mighty men several times in the Bible, it says, you know, so-and-so fought the Philistines. He was in a field, and everybody ran except so-and-so. He was there by himself, and he fought till the sword clave to his hand. He couldn't let go of his sword, but he kept fighting. And that man was honored. Why? Because he was alone. He carried the burden alone. So listen, next time you're tempted to have a self-pity party because you've been left alone with such and such chore at the church, whatever, remember, the fewer the men, the greater the honor. David killed a giant by himself. Amen? Terry Sparks came and ministered to our guys a couple years ago. We had a January men's meeting in a barn here in Alvin on a night that was crazy. They were expecting a hailstorm. Some of you brave warriors came out. And at 10 o'clock, as soon as the meeting was over, everybody took off because they were predicting a really bad hailstorm. It never came to Alvin, but anyways. And he brought out the same point, the man in the Bible that was called to defend a bean field. How many of you guys remember that sermon? It stuck with me. But he had to defend it by himself. So if you're stuck with holding a task by yourself, don't consider it a dishonor. It's an honor because you stuck it out. And heaven keeps good books, Ben. They keep real good books up there. Amen. God notes it. Look at one more verse with me. I believe we're almost done. Colossians chapter 3. We shared this in Foundations class this morning. Colossians 3 verse 22. So powerful. This sums up our work in the Lord. Of course, this was written during a time when slavery was legal. The Romans had slaves. Even Jewish people sometimes had slaves, you know, themselves. And Paul says here to the Colossian church, he said, if you're a slave, servants, obey your masters in all things according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, not just to win their favor, but out of reverence for the Lord. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from who? From the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Hallelujah. Say that with me. It's the Lord Christ we are serving. Amen. This is so cool about heaven. Every deed can be converted to reward. Literally. You dry a tear. You pick up some trash. You help with the kids. Everything you do in the house of God, there's a tally being tallied in heaven. You may not feel very spiritual or very excited doing it, but God's keeping note. And he will reward you. The Bible says right here, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. Just make a note of these references. For time's sake, I'm just going to read them to you. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, don't wait till you're old to serve Jesus. Well, that's for the old people. That's for the adults. I started being drawn into service in the kingdom when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. Suzette, I started playing piano in children's church because I got asked to. My mom was good friends with the lady who was the children's director. She came to our house one day and heard me playing the piano. She said, oh, would Scotty like to come play for children's church? You know how moms are. They'll sign you up. So she signed me up. But it was the start of a great thing. Great thing. Don't underestimate where God can take you from the start of a small seed. Lamentations 3:27 says, it's good to bear the yoke in your youth. That's Lamentations 3:27. It's good to learn to bear the yoke in your youth. As I said, I got an early start. Some of you got saved well beyond the age that I started serving the Lord, you know, with my life in my late teens, early 20s. But I've been storing up. You got some catching up to do. Some of you in here. But start now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Psalm 92. Let's look at that together. That's a really good passage. We might end on this. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15. Psalm 92. It is never too late to begin serving the Lord with your life. It's never too early to start, and it's never too late to start. Amen. That's true. Psalm 92, verse 12 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. He'll grow like a cedar in Lebanon." I don't know exactly what that means, but let me give you this a side note here, and you can look it up later. You can do some research. When Solomon built the temple, they brought cedar logs down from Lebanon, which is north of Israel. You know on the map, I mean, Lebanon, it's like modern-day Lebanon. It's north of Israel. And they brought cedar logs down. They floated them down the Mediterranean Sea there and into the rivers that went toward Jerusalem. That's how good the cedar is from Lebanon. So apparently that's a significant tree, right? If they had to bring them that far, they didn't use local cedar. They used Lebanon cedar. So it's the good stuff. You might write that in your Bible. It's the good stuff. He'll grow like the good stuff, all right? Verse 13, those that be what? Planted in the house of the Lord. Are you planted?
Yes.
Are you in this for life? What if you get offended at the preacher or sister so-and-so or the sound of the music or the youth pastor's long hair or whatever? What if you get offended at this stuff? Are you going to quit church? I've known Christians who have quit church. Hey, listen, in your lifetime, you're going to have what would be considered to your natural mind legitimate reasons to quit church. So the question I want to propose to you again is, are you planted? See, by God's grace, you'll never root me out of church. You'll never root me out of tithing. Never root me out of taking the talent he's given me and pouring it out for the sake of his people, the bride. All my life. I'm planted, Ed. Now, I may go through seasons where I need to pull back and get healed up. My heart's been twisted, mangled, bashed, run over, whatever, or at least it feels that way. It's all about perception, isn't it? Sometimes you need to pull aside and get healed up. But then once you get healed, get back in the flow. Don't unplant yourself from the body of Christ just because you've been hurt by him. Those that be planted, who's that? That's the people that have been through it. That's the old trees. You know, there's some folks in here, they're like the great survivors. They got some stories to tell. They've been through life. They've been through some bumps and bruises. We value that in this church. See, in the kingdom, we don't put old people out to pasture. We want to draw from their values, their life lessons, their wisdom. That's the world's way that says the old are no longer valuable. That's Babylon thinking. Babylon worships the youth. You read the Bible, you'll see what youth will do. It led one king, you know, King Solomon's son, Rehoboam. He ignored the advice of the elderly and followed the advice of the young men, and it split the kingdom. He lost his kingdom. So the world values youth. Now, there's a lot to be said for youth. There's a whole lot to be said for the elderly. And God looks at it that way. He says, they'll flourish. Those who are planted in the courts of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, will flourish in the courts of our God. See, when you're in the house, it's not about the house. It's about who's in the house. It's his house. You heard the phrase, chew up the meat, spit out the bones? You're going to have to do that all your life. Even with me. There'll be times I annoy you. Just spit out my bones. I spit yours out. Look at verse 14. They'll still bring forth fruit in their what?
Old age.
That's unheard of. When we were in Israel years ago, we saw a tree in the Mount of Olives. That's a hillside where all these olive trees are growing. And they had trees, and they said, this one here, they figure it's over 2,000 years old. And guess what? It's still bearing fruit. Big, gnarly-looking thing. Maybe doesn't look like much on the outside, but it's still fruitful. They'll bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. The Bible values fatness. It's a sign of abundance. You can just laugh at that all you want. Fat and flourishing. And why is that? Verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright, or the Lord is good. The Lord is good. If you're not happy serving Jesus, you might check yourself. Because he's good.
Amen.
Just a little bit of an attitude tweak will do it. That'll make all the difference. He's good. And you know what? Honestly, his people are good. Not perfect, but they're good. When Paul was knocked off his donkey on the way to Damascus, he asked two questions. Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus, who you've been persecuting. Now, Jesus was in heaven when he answered that question. He was already resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Who was he talking about? Paul had been persecuting Christians, the church. And Jesus, in a sense, said, when you touch the church, you're touching me. You touch the bride, you're touching me. Careful what you say about Christians. Careful what you say about churches and pastors. When you touch the bride, you're touching the groom. And Paul asked the question, he said, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? And there's no man that I know of who served God with more vigor, more determination. I mean, just read it in the book of Corinthians. I forget whether it's first or second, but he talks about that chapter. He says, I was shipwrecked this many times. I was beaten with rods. I was flogged. I was stoned. He just couldn't quit. And if you'll plant yourself in the courts of the Lord, determined to serve, to take that gift he's given you, because every one of you have it. You may not have discovered it yet, but you'll find it. You just stick around. The Lord will reveal it. We'll look up one day and go, wow, someone said, look at that gift that's just flourishing out of them. Look at what amazing anointings and power working through their lives. And it all starts small. Praise the Lord. Won't you stand together with me? Now is the time to begin serving Jesus. And yes, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk more and more about opportunities here at Believers Fellowship. Because we got some holes to fill. And some of you are anointed, gifted to fill it. Some of you have been gifted to fill it. You just don't know it yet. But once you start stepping in, see, when you step in the flow, amazing things happen. Step into the flow and watch what God will do with your life. I heard a minister say that recently, a man who has been greatly used by God. His wife told him years ago when they were just starting out, and he was questioning, is this really God? Should I step through this door? And she said, watch what God will do. I want to leave you with that idea today. Watch what God will do with your life as you serve him with gladness. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I'm praying for. Paul said this about preaching. He said, I don't bring the gospel with just words, mere words, but with power. And so as I've spoken the word over you today, saints, here's what I'm believing for. The quickening, the igniting of the gifts of God in you. I'm not here to motivate you in the flesh, try to get some, you know, stir up some volunteer responses. No, this word has power. The word we read in 1 Peter 4 is true. Every man has been gifted by God. And we are administrators of that gift. We are to be faithful stewards, faithfully giving that gift to God's people. Listen, there are lots of things that will pull at your time and attention. I determined years ago, my priority is in the church house. Not just because I'm called to preach. You can give to this or that charity, or, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we had the Jerry Lewis telethon. I'm not even sure where all that money went, but, it happened every year around Labor Day. And they raised millions of dollars. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing, but I'm telling you, the best place for you to invest is in the courts of the Lord. Yes. Both your money, your talent, your attention, your energies. Will you get stepped on? Will you get hurt? Yep. I got some scars I can show you if you want to talk about it. But I don't glory in the scars. I glory in the opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness, to love the bride of Jesus, because that's who's precious to him. And he sees all her flaws. He still loves her. He still loves you and I. Father, today, just lift your hands to heaven. And if you believe in what I'm praying over you right now, I want you from your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. You can if you want. But I want you to say amen from your heart to this. Quicken, Holy Spirit, the gifts of God in us. Ignite the giftings now, young and old alike. Things that have laid dormant, things that have been suppressed, even gifts that have been laid down, even doors that, things that have been put under lock and key, said, never again will I do this. Never again will I step out and share this. Never again will I work in this way in the house of God because of hurt or pain or abuse. No, today, the locks come off. Today, the gifts are ignited by the Holy Spirit. Now, Do it, Holy Spirit. Ignite the gifts in us to the glory of the one who gave the gift, Jesus Christ. For when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. When he ascended on high, he raised you and I up. And he didn't just call us to be his children. He called us to be his gifted children. We're gifted to be a blessing to the earth. And we thank you, Jesus. And we say yes to the need, to the supply that's calling on our gift. We say yes today. We will obey. We will not be disobedient to the heavenly calling. And we will serve you with gladness. Hallelujah. God's doing great things. Just wait on him a moment. We'll dismiss in just a moment. But let the Lord right now do what we're believing him to do. Would you let him do that in your heart? Would you let him awaken gifts in you? Expressions? Anointings? That can save lives? That can rescue the dying? That can comfort those in pain and sorrow? That can preach the gospel? Even to the little ones? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To the glory of God. To the glory of the name of Jesus. Thank you for doing it, Father, today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We love you. We bless you. And we hope to see you Wednesday night for our family teachings. Or if not, next Sunday, July 3rd. It'll be a great communion Sunday. Come and join us. Bring a friend. Bring a guest. Listen, you know, we do some odd things in charismatic churches. We speak in tongues. We lift our hands. We take communion. All these things. It's okay. People know spirit when they see spirit. Even the lost, they know when they see the real deal. Bring them. Bring them to church. And watch what the Lord will do in their lives. Amen. God bless you as you go today. Amen.